Hey everybody, yes, welcome back to the Paid Search Podcast. My name is Jason Rothman. As always, I'm joined by the great Chris Schaefer. Chris, we're back. We've been choppy the last few weeks. We're on track here. It's good to see you. You're wearing I think you're wearing denim. It's good to see you in denim.
Oh, yeah.
How's it going? You feeling good? You feeling like we're getting into spring? How's it going?
I don't know what trees they are, but they're purple outside my window, and they are gorgeous, and the sun is out, and winter has left. I feel like I had my first experience with real winter, and I don't ever, like, I hope it's summer the rest of my life, because that's horrible. And yeah, it's good to be back. Appreciate you guys letting us take a week. We had some stuff, and we're back, and we're full force. The good thing about being gone and taking a break is we have some time to chill and think and brainstorm, and it feels fresh again. So we're fresh. Like, I'm good for another 56 episodes, I think, before we need another break.
Yeah, I'm about 52, but we'll figure that out.
Okay.
Chris, you got a tree sprouting up purple and all that kind of stuff. We have a tree that bloomed with a white color. You know what's interesting is how
those stink
when they bloom.
Those smell bad, by the way. Smell it.
Are you insulting me? Take a lot of pride in my
trees. My trees are beautiful. Your tree, like, go out, just sniff them. Just let me know. Text me.
What's interesting about that is how quickly they bloom.
Have you noticed? Kicks in early. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you're right. They do. They're first. They're like the most beautiful ones are first before anything else.
But it just happens one day you go out there, nothing's going on. Then the next day, boom.
Yep.
Kind of like your Google Ads skill sets, everybody. You train, you learn, you get some experience. It doesn't feel like you're putting everything together. And then all of a sudden, one day, you hit that nice conversion rate. You know why. You see a problem, you fix it. You know why. And everything just clicks. And you feel
like
you know what's going on.
You are a big, stinky, white tree.
Or a purple one.
You reach that
purple level.
No, the purple doesn't. No, it doesn't stink.
Where did you go to podcast school, Chris? And do you need to go again?
I'm sorry. I know. I'm on fire. I'm with you. I had too many goals.
Bring it in. So where are you right now? Bring it in. Where are you?
I'm on the podcast with Jason Rothman.
Okay.
The greatest something.
Thank you. So, Chris, we've got some interesting news today about web privacy, internet privacy on advertising. We have an episode today due to popular demand about shopping, Google shopping. We're going to tackle this after many, many episodes. I think we're going to start doing more shopping episodes here and there because it's very interesting and a lot of people are very interested in it. If you go back to our archive, which a lot of people do, first 100 episodes for sale, paidsearchpodcast.com, you can find it. Every week, people are telling me they bought 25 episodes here, 25 episodes there, helping them learn about Google Ads, getting them good fundamentals. One thing that's not in there, any Google shopping stuff, I don't think. It just hasn't been something we focused on. But you do a lot of Google shopping. I don't, but I want to learn from you. And there's a lot of people who want to start doing Google shopping, want to know what to look out for. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to kind of compare and contrast the things you know about Google search ads. And we're going to kind of compare those to Google shopping and kind of go through what to watch out for if you're transitioning into Google shopping. We put a message on our Facebook group for the patrons, Patreon Facebook group, kind of what episodes you want to hear, what are some topics on your mind. Blown away, completely blown away with how many people are asking about Google shopping. So there's a lot of demand there, and in today's after show on Patreon, we're going to go through some of those comments, Chris, that I collected about what people are seeing with Google Shopping and just kind of talk about those as well. Before we do all that, we have a five-star review of the week. And before that, Chris, you're going to tell us about Opteo, and then we'll jump into the episode.
That's right. Opteo is the sponsor that we have had for a long time, and we continue to enjoy the benefits of strong campaigns and happy clients because of the amazing power of this tool. And I'm not joking. I talk to people all the time, and they mention Opteo because they hear about it on the show, and they mention it. And I'll tell you what, Nick from Canada talked to me recently, and he had a great a point about what he thought about Opteo and what it did for him. And I love this slogan, and I asked his permission to use it. And he said, sure, go ahead. He said, for him, Opteo is like AI for manual bidders. So if you're out there grinding away at manual bidding and you know, you refuse to cave to some of the automated processes, some of the things that, you know, take control out of your hands. You're a professional. You want to be able to control your campaigns. Opteo is the bridge to get you the control you want with the power of AI. And I love that. I thought that was a great way to encapsulate Opteo. So if you want to try this amazing tool for 8 weeks for free, you can do that if you have not already. Many people have. And if you haven't, then you're in luck. We have a special offer straight from the people at Opteo to try it out for 8 weeks for free. That's opteo.com/PSP2 to get an 8-week free trial. Use the chat box down at the bottom. Let them know you heard about the podcast here on the Paid Search Podcast, and you get that special offer. Everybody else gets just 30 days. You get 8 weeks. So enjoy that. And hey, become like Nick, the guy who does AI level intelligence bidding, but is still a manual bidder.
Thanks, Chris. I want to read this week's 5-star review of the week. We appreciate you all leaving those. A lot of people are leaving those. They come in every single week, and it helps our show grow because you get to control the algorithms, and they recommend the show to more people when you do that on your podcast players. This one comes from David on Apple Podcasts, 5 stars. You have listeners in Cameroon.
Oh, wow. Don't ask me. I don't know anything about Cameroon. I'm sure you do.
West side of Africa, central West Africa, yep, off the Atlantic Ocean. I stumbled on your podcast in early 2020 and got hooked. I know a university in Cameroon, which has your podcast as part of its marketing curriculum. I've never ran any Google ads, but I know thanks to you, I will do great. As a matter of fact, I will be better than you both. I will have 90% click-through rate and 95% conversion rates. Great work, guys. David from Cameroon.
David.
A lot to unpack there, man. Chris. We're part of a marketing curriculum at a college. That's great to hear.
Did not know that.
Hey, if you're a professor out there anywhere in the world, share our show. Yeah. Get those episodes up to those students. Teach them about Google Ads.
This is the kind of thing that they don't talk about. At least they didn't talk about this kind of, you know, niche.
All right. Honestly, Chris, if you're going to college right now for business and marketing, I don't care if you're in the entrepreneurship major. I don't care if you're in the accounting major and you take some marketing classes, or if you're focused on marketing and advertising, how do you not have classes dedicated to Google Ads? How do you not bring on the Paid Search Podcast guys at 250 grand speaking fee for each
fly
of
us out there?
We'll 250 grand. We'll figure out the flight. Seriously, how do you, why aren't we in demand, asked to be speak across colleges all over the country? Why isn't the Paid Search Podcast part of marketing programs across the United States? It should be, because Google is a ton of marketing budget in terms of where advertising dollars go. It should be taught in courses. So it's good to hear this is being taught in Cameroon. And then being better than us at Google Ads, I wouldn't bet on that, but I'm getting old, and if you're young, you've got the fire and the energy.
That's true. When we die.
You got to catch up to our wisdom, but every day we're slowing down physically. Like yesterday, Chris, I was lying on the bed watching stuff on my phone, just kind of relaxing. I didn't think I was in a weird position at all. I was just kind of hanging out before I go to bed and stuff. As soon as I got up, my back felt like it snapped in half. And I was like, I didn't even think I was in a weird position. Right now, I'm sitting at this chair, and I got to figure out, I got to sit straight up because my back's hurting. So, we're aging. And you don't think it happens, but then all of a sudden, a few years go by, and early 30s is not mid-20s. 40s is not 30s. And once you get to 50,
it's over.
It's completely over. And you got to focus on others. No, I'm kidding. So, Chris, Great review there. A lot to unpack from that one. And thank you for that review. Chris, we have some news. Why don't you share this search news? People are loving this segment. I love this segment, staying on top of the news. And by the way, we can't just do an hour or two on news. So this isn't some like pack in the content, none matters. It's just clickbait. This stuff, we have to actually curate what actually matters to us. So we got a couple here. What's going on?
This is the stuff that comes across my radar that changes my thoughts or something that affects me as a Google Ads manager. And the thing is, you may have heard, or maybe you didn't, but it seemed like it hit all the big outlets everywhere. Everybody was talking about it. And effectively, it changes nothing so far. But Google's saying in the future, next year, they're going to stop selling ads based on your specific web browsing. Okay. And here's the thing. I haven't gotten your take on it, Jason, but I'm going to give mine. And basically, the short of the whole topic is that Google is going to stop using third-party tracking, cookies, and things like that to get this private data that you have, you know, what sites you're going to, what you're into. In other words, if you're in the Google Ads industry, you know that means audiences, in-market audiences, affinity audiences. Possibly it could mean, you know, remarketing, things like that. And they're going to take this stuff internal, and they're no longer going to, you know, have their fingers out in everybody's browser. But here's the thing. I don't think that this is really as, you know, an amazing step forward in privacy as what everybody thinks. I think what they're instead doing is they're saying, hey, there's a lot of data out there that we're just kind of giving out and just kind of sharing. You know what? One of our engineers came with a great idea on a way to do it so we can have all that data ourselves, and it's just anonymized, and it's no longer a privacy issue, but we still have the same amount of data. You know, instead of individual tracking, we're doing group and categorization tracking. So it's a two-level type of privatization of that data. You're not even an individual, you're a part of a group, and you can't even identify who is in that group. It's just numbers and randomized data. So I don't think that as advertisers, we should be concerned that we're going to lose something. I think it's going to change. But there's no way Google's going to say, oh yeah, we're just going to stop that completely. Google's not in the business of taking profitable ideas and just stopping it because people feel icky about it. That's not going to happen. So I think this is more of just a publicity type of thing, you know, like, hey, everybody, hey, notice this. We're taking away all this creepy stuff. You know, hey, we watched that Netflix show too about the creepy factor, and we're going to stop that. And everybody applauds.
So,
and that's it.
I generally agree with you that nothing, we're not going to lose anything as advertisers. I don't think we will. Like capabilities.
No.
Like retargeting. Maybe you don't call it retargeting, remarketing, whatever. Maybe you call it group targeting or something, but maybe you call it people who are similar to people who've been to your website. But I don't think we're going to lose anything. But I'll take it one step further. I think the targeting is going to get better. Because better targeting, so like Facebook, why do they make all the money from display and stuff? It's because they know who you are. They know what you like. Side note, by the way, it's real fun to watch Facebook argue that micro-targeted ads are better for users and all that kind of stuff. Like, all the other big tech companies are going in the direction of, at least they're saying what they're saying, privacy, anonymous result, all that kind of stuff. But Facebook is like openly saying, no, we need your data to sell these ads, and these ads are good for you. Guys, and they're doing it like
it's okay.
Yeah. It's better. It's better.
It's better.
You giving up your privacy is better. So they got to work on
this
that.
This is good for you.
They got to work on that messaging because it doesn't really pass the sniff test there. But I think with Google, Chris, I think because if you read this article, Google to stop selling ads based on your specific web browsing from the Wall Street Journal. They talk about how, okay, individual cookies, third-party tracking, whatever. Yeah, we're not using that anymore. But the privacy sandbox where they're going to basically – I just think they've created tools where like you could target Jason Rothman as a user, as an individual based on my cookie and give me real relevant ads because you know what I'm doing online and stuff as Google. Mm-hmm. But then that attracts attention, regulators and all that. and also consumer opinions. People flock to privacy. I do myself these days. Like, that's why I love Apple, because it's a very private, focused company.
Yeah.
So I think what they're doing is they're getting rid of the individual names, or in terms of using the word individual tracking, cookies and all that.
Yeah.
I think they've become so good at collecting data, because it says here, the privacy sandbox, once such technology analyzes users' browsing habits on their devices, well, that's, I don't care if you call it a cookie or not. Like, what is that? That's tracking my usage.
Yeah.
So I think what they've done, I think they've become so good at comparing Jason Rothman to whoever in another state who basically is the same guy as me, watches some MMA, likes to follow current events, likes the marketing industry, likes investing, likes the things I like, that they're able to match up me with someone else. And I think I'm an individual and all that. No, I'm probably just like 5,000 other people in this country.
Yep.
Exactly. Yep. Spot on. Exactly. And now they're able to put us in sandboxes or whatever. And they're able to say,
there you go. Yep.
Oh, this guy is into landscaping. He has a need for landscaping because we see him doing all this stuff online, looking for landscaping companies and all that. But we don't need to track him individually anymore. We just throw him in the landscaping audience. And basically, I think the tracking is going to be, or excuse me, the targeting is going to be better. I think when you put people in the market for landscaping services, I think it's going to be better. And I think they're just going to get away from calling it individual or cookies. And they're just going to track it however they track, quote unquote, one such technology analyzes users' browsing habits on their devices.
All right. Whatever that is. Come up with a good name for
I
guess.
The privacy sandbox. Like,
I
guess it's just separating like what advertisers get to see or call the people they're tracking and make it a little more anonymous, a little more private sounding. But it sounds like they're still going to have the data. Sounds like we're still going to have the tracking. And I think if they're willing to make this move and get away from cookies, then that means the tracking's pretty good. And I think it's getting better and better. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
That's my take. Our options are going to be better. The targeting is going to be better performance. And if you were nervous as an advertiser, I think that was a waste of energy over all this. I think it sounds scary. Oh, what's going to happen to remarketing and all that? But I think we're going to have all the same options and get even better results as this rolls out.
That's cool, because we didn't talk about this ahead of time. So we basically agree.
Well, yeah, because I mean, both you and I know Google. We know the industry. You think they're just going to shoot themselves in the foot and make their targeting not as good all of a sudden? Like, no,
absolutely
of course not.
Like,
why would they do that?
No, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, they engineered this
whole
idea. We both
came about this through the... We're both looking at it the same way. Not worried.
Yeah, we read this. We read the same article and came to the same conclusion that, okay, sure, things are changing, but it's not going to change to the point that you can't do some of the same things.
Now, so, if you're one of these third-party companies or on these exchanges that I don't use day-to-day, I just use Google Ads, if you're some kind of affiliate of the Google world, but you're not actually Google... and have their targeting and all that, probably a bad day.
It's going to hurt.
Probably going through a bad day right now.
Yeah.
But hey.
2021 is going to be the end of it.
Hey, that's capitalism, Chris. This is a fight out here.
Yep. All right. Well, let's get into the main topic. Ding, ding, ding. There's the bell. Let's jump out on the mat and let's talk about shopping campaigns in Google Ads. Okay. So, the main topic that we're talking about today is comparing Google shopping ads to Google search. And by doing that, I'm not going to do a compare and contrast. What I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you guys about, here are the things you should know. And you may already be running a shopping campaign. And I've seen enough of these to know that many of you are running them and don't understand the value and how they work. The settings and the way that you manage them, and then finally how you do optimization. Those are the three things that we're going to hit. So let's start off with the number one thing. Jason, if I were to tell you, hey, you should run a shopping campaign, you would probably think maybe because it's an image ad, it pops up with a price in an image, and you think that's probably one of the best things.
Honestly, know what I would think, what I don't say, but it's actually in my brain, the first thing I would think is, wow, I haven't done shopping in years. I don't know anything about it. It's not something I focused on, but I'm probably the smartest not the smartest, but no one's ever been smarter that's ever lived. Mm-hmm. So I'll be able to figure it out. So let's run a campaign. That's what I would think.
It's true.
You say but what yes, I would yeah. say is between me and you, Chris, I just Googled wheelbarrow because I didn't even know if images were in these ads. And now I'm looking at some. When I say I don't do Google shopping, I'm not lying to you, Chris.
You're blind to it. If it's not a text ad, you don't even notice it. So,
well, I don't. Yeah, and honestly, for myself with e-commerce, like, do some Amazon here and there. I do some, go out in the world shopping here and there. And I just don't spend a lot of money on stuff. I'm more about experiences, being a great husband and going on date nights and just being an amazing husband and father and dog father.
Okay.
That I can be. It's not about material things except when it comes to my own consumption. So Chris, I just don't buy stuff.
Don't ever say dog father on my podcast.
Don't ever not tell me to say dog father. I have a bumper sticker that says who rescued who with a paw on it. Okay. Gosh. And people see that and they know I'm a dog father. And my dog got knee surgery today and he has a cone on his head and he has to have the cone on for weeks. And every time he goes outside now, he has to be on leash and we have to put him on all these medicines. And he ruptured his ACL. And he has a shaved knee, like all that weird cat skin look, and it has a big scar on it. So, and that happened today. And I specifically rushed back across town to make this podcast on time to be a good partner to you. And I don't want you to feel like you can tell me that I can't call myself a dog father. Then that's what I am. And that's one of the biggest things I pride myself in life. I have two dogs. They're very difficult dogs. One of the biggest. Listen to your podcast partner. So don't ever tell me I can't be a dog father. So Chris. Yeah, and so I don't do a lot of consumption, but when I find myself Googling for wheelbarrow, now I do see these ads. And I will say these are very attractive ads. I see some big brands there. I see pictures. I see 5-star reviews. I see
prices.
Tags that say curbside. Wow, those are very effective because like if I'm searching for that, I could go, oh, they do curbside. That's cool. And I see prices. And prices lead me to ROAS. And by the way, I was talking with a new client this week, Chris. I threw out the ROAS based on the last episode with you where we talked about ROAS and they loved it and we're going to do that. So thank you very much.
Oh,
I'm going to turn back to being positive on you. And you're a great guy, nice. Chris. So yeah, I honestly, let me put it this way. I want to know where to start, Chris. So help me out here.
Well, I'll tell you what, the number one thing, and those are all great, the image, the price, and the fact that you can serve a whole lot of different searches based on the data feed within your shopping campaign. But the number one thing that I think people miss out on is that your shopping campaign should have a lower cost per click. And that is a super valuable part of shopping. Shopping campaigns, to me, sometimes they're super effective, sometimes they're not. Sometimes it kind of goes up and down. Sometimes it's really good, sometimes it's really bad. Seasonal, all kinds of things can affect it. But the main thing is, I can rely on it for one thing, and the cost per click should be cheaper. So number one, when it comes to shopping and search, check the ratio difference between your shopping campaign and your search campaign. And here's why. The reason is, you might have, let's say you've gone crazy and you have 300 ads. With, 300 keywords in your search campaign, okay? Now let's take a look at your shopping campaign. Let's say you maybe have 100 products in there, and they each have different titles and descriptions and everything. The amount of things that you can show up on in a shopping campaign is so much wider. So the range that these ads can show up on is huge. And click-through rates are usually low. They're not usually very high because, you're kind of crammed in there with a whole bunch of other ones. And the efficiency of just serving lots of graphical, price-based, very actionable ads is very powerful. And that's what you're going for.
So I just did a search like fish oil. And I see shopping ads with products at the top. And then I also do see some people advertising traditional search text ads. traditional search text ads. I'm doing keywords. I'm doing match types. I'm doing tons of negative keywords. I can super control what I show up on. Because I can control it, I can focus on things that actually bring in conversions. Because I see conversions, I'm able to have confidence in those keywords and I can bid a lot. That's why maybe search ads is what I'm hearing from you. Traditional search ads might have a higher cost per click in general because you can have more control. But with shopping ads, the searches that I show up on, I'm asking you a question now. I'm going to be in less control, which means I could show up on more stuff. And that's why my cost per click is lower. Is that what you're saying?
It's inventory. That's the difference. In search, count how many text ads there are and how many shopping ads there are. It's inventory. There is so many more places for a shopping ad to show up than there is for a text ad. You have to do a search to get another 4 or 3 or 2 text ads. But one search can deliver 20 shopping ads all in that one long horizontal string that they show.
Because now I'm seeing it. It's not just these 5 ads that are, 3 ads on the top. But then when you click over to the shopping tab, you have that thing at the top, the horizontal row of sponsored listings of shopping ads, and you can click through all them so you can show a lot.
Yeah. And so sometimes, you know, that little horizontal bar can have a ton. There could be, you know, 10, 15 of those showing up, and you can actually scroll on a phone across those. So it's inventory. It's the number of inventory that is available for shopping, and that makes cost per click so much cheaper.
Gotcha. Now, little actionable advice. You're coming over to shopping from search. Maybe, I don't know how many industries have crossover where you do search ads and shopping ads and they can each work. Like vitamins is something that comes to mind because I worked with a client before who was in that supplement vitamin space and they did both kinds. What do you do with your cost per clicks? Do you have a general rule like, hey, I would do half of what I do on a search campaign, or low and see what my volume comes in as? Do you think people make a big mistake of starting too high too quickly when they come over? Yeah. What are your thoughts on that cost per click and how to set it?
Yeah, if you're doing manual. If you're getting like $2 cost per click or $4 cost per click on search, then, you know, the truth for me is that's absolutely no indication of what your shopping would be for me. I don't
look at it as a totally different platform.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't care. I mean, because it's a completely different monster. It has nothing to do. So that 50%, 25% has nothing to do with it. I start as low as I can. I start like 25 cents, you know, and if I can spend the budget with that 25 cent bid, I start there. And then our third item will be what to do from that. We'll talk about optimization. But when it comes to bids, start low. Start low.
So, Chris, I did search for fish oil. I'm on the shopping tab, and I see so many visuals in front of me. I see so many pictures, so much like the yellow stars and how many stars they have and the dollar amounts and all that. And you hover over them, and then they pop up and stuff. And I'm thinking there's got to be just one person at Google, like, protecting our search ads and our Google search in general, like, without images. Well, now there's some betas, but, like, man, just a compliment to Google for, like, just holding down traditional search ads generally the way they've been, keeping a good thing going. Because I can see if you're at Google, you could be totally tempted to take this shopping ecosystem of all these visuals and options and pop-ups and start just throwing that at traditional text ads. And I'm happy they haven't done that to date, because I'm getting a little overwhelmed here. Chris, I like the advice there. Generally expect cheaper cost per clicks than traditional search. That's a good takeaway. Do you want to move into settings now, or is there anything else to cover there?
Yeah. No, let's talk about settings. And settings is a general term, but basically what I want to talk about is manual bidding and how to do bidding. So we talk about search, you know, so how do you approach the settings in search? You know, you could go back and listen to 200 episodes about all of that. How do you do it in shopping?
People,
you know,
in your location, people interested in your location, people.
Oh my goodness.
Or interested in your location, people with a pulse. Just kidding.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's all of that is the same, you know, all the location targeting, all that. There's nothing really special there. What I want to talk about is how do you do manual bidding? Because what, if you don't know about shopping, is there's no keywords. You do not, you go to the keywords tab and there's no keywords there. You can't choose keywords. You can't add keywords. So the way that the Google system works is it pulls in the data feed from your Google Merchant Center. Okay, so you set up a Google Merchant Center, which is a separate system from Google Ads, and then you pull that data feed into a shopping campaign, and it puts it into an ad group. That data feed is attached to an ad group, and inside that ad group are all the products. And I'm going to do a video for those of you that are on the super patron level. I'm going to do a video to show you how, you know, what I'm talking about here, but it's called the product level. You can go into a shopping campaign and you can adjust the
tab
bids.
Slash area.
Thank you. Yeah, okay. Not the campaign. You can go to the shopping campaign and look at the area.
Yeah.
It's not really is it, for the
so
tab.
We're talking about the sidebar that where they used to be tabs. Mm-hmm. Now you have keywords.
Thank you.
Ad groups. The sidebar products.
It's the product groups.
Okay.
This is where you do your manual bidding. And this is where you can adjust in the same way that we talk about the value of certain keywords. This is where you adjust the value of certain products. So if you're selling a widget that's $2 and you sell another widget that's worth $2,000, obviously the ROI, return on ad spend, is going to be better for the $2,000 product than it is for the $2 product. So you put the focus on the ones that provide the best lift, you know, and that's at least where you would start. We'll talk about optimization in a minute, but that's where you would make these smaller manual bids, is at that product group level. And it makes a big difference, because as you'll hear about next, you know, when it comes to shopping, you have no control. You have no control, and you don't choose keywords. You're kind of at the hands of your data feed. And there's not a whole lot of ways to control that.
So as we talk about comparing and contrasting Google Ads, search ads to shopping ads, and someone who's getting into shopping from search, and the things to look out for, in terms of optimization, in terms of management, would adjusting product group bids, manual bids, be where a lot of that work is based on what you're seeing with conversion rates and return on spend?
Yeah, it's definitely a place to start. When it comes to, at least, you know, like if you don't even know what you're doing, at least having everything in one ad group and then adjusting those product group bids, that's a good place to start, because at least you're itemizing the value of each of your products. If you sell 500 different SKUs, are all of those 500 worth the same thing? Mm. You know, surely not. Surely there's different categories and levels of
value. And I guess also value. Depending on how they perform conversion rate wise.
Yep.
And cost Absolutely. Per conversion. Okay. So Absolutely. If I'm trying to picture traditional search ads versus shopping and trying to get into it and feel comfortable, yes, there's all this stuff about the Merchant Center data feed and all that. But once you're set up, you can apply those, if you want to do manual bidding skills and analyzing conversion rates and cost per conversion and even market share. Impression share, you can take those skill sets and how you use all that data to adjust your bids and guide you on how to adjust your bids. You're doing that same process in a shopping campaign. Do those skills carry over?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, basically, it comes to prioritization. You prioritize what is valuable to you. And that's the same thing we've talked about for years. You prioritize the keywords and the traffic that's most valuable to you in search, and you do the same thing in shopping. And the big thing from here that we'll get into is optimization. How do you improve that? And before I do that, I'm going to remind you about the AI tool for manual bidders. You've heard us talk now. We've talked for 30 minutes now. You've heard us. You know that we like control. You know that we are not two guys that allow for the system to just kind of take control for us. You know that we like smart systems. We like systems that allow us to make decisions because we're educated about what we're selling, what our goals are. That is what Optio is all about. Optio is about, as I said before, AI bidding for manual bidders. In other words, what that means is it helps you make smart decisions without taking the control from you. So if you want to try out this great tool for free for 8 weeks, as I said before, OPTEO.com/PSP2 to try it out for 8 weeks and just let the wonderful people in the chat know that you heard about it on the Paid Search Podcast.
So, Chris, as we're talking and I'm hearing you talk about analyzing the cost per clicks and how those compare to traditional search and getting a heads up on that it might be lower as you get into shopping, and then hearing about manual bidding and bidding at product groups and using your skill set of manual bidding, or at least understanding bidding and how that can you can make those calls based on conversion rates, cost per conversion, market share, impression share. I feel like I'm missing out on this shopping area because I feel like my expert world-class skill sets apply. There's just this hurdle, this hang-up I have about shopping and how to set it up and all that kind of stuff. So I'm going to ask you in the after show a little business of shopping questions. Like when you analyze me, am I too comfortable? Should I also add e-commerce to my lead gen capabilities and get your input on that?
Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it on the business side. Like if you're a manager, if you're a consultant, you know,
like how easy is it? Because it sounds like once you get there, it's definitely like doable and the skill set applies, but it's a question of getting there. So I'd love to get your thoughts on that there.
Sure.
Before we do that, we're going to talk about like just a general heads up on how optimization compares to regular search campaigns. So when you hear the word optimization, which is a huge part of the job, you hear optimization for Google shopping campaigns, what should people be focused on when it comes to optimizing their campaigns?
There are really two things. I'm going to leave off the bidding aspect because honestly, I think that complicates things too much. So let's not talk about the bidding.
And it's also traditional. Goes. It's also like, you bid. Yeah.
I mean, you could easily optimize with just leaving all the bids the same. So it's not absolutely mandatory. But what is mandatory is, number one, your Google data feed.
I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. I want to hear that I go into my Google Ads account like I do for regular search campaigns, and I look at my sidebar and I go, audiences, let me analyze the data. Keywords, let me analyze the data.
Yeah.
Clicks, let me analyze the data. And then let me use my expert skill set to make good decisions. That's what I want optimization to be. I don't want to go into a feed. When I want to hear the word feed, I want to hear about lunch and I want to have that leftovers lasagna that I cooked for my family last night because I'm a family man, Chris, and I cooked a great dinner, lasagna. So, all right, frozen? But you're the expert here on Google Shop and I'm not, and you're going to call me out like that? Of course, yeah, I'm not going to cook. I'm not going to hand scratch cook lasagna on a weeknight. I'm a working man here, Chris. I got to make money during the day. I don't have a lot of time, but you get that Stouffer's from the Nestle company. I mean, you put that in the oven. It did pretty good.
It's good.
It did really good.
Oh, it is.
Oh, it did really good. That's what I think about when I hear the word feed. But apparently, we got to do this. So what's going on with this Google? I'll say it like Chris. Data. Or no, let me do it in your voice. Is that not the way you say it? Google, data feed. Data feed.
I do not talk through my nose. That is absolutely.
Data feed. Data feed. Data feed.
Dogs are stupid.
Data feed. I'm sitting down. Chris is standing up. He's still 4'8". Data feed.
Little cone sticking out of his head.
You really went there? And not even on Patreon so people know? It's kind of some banter and we can get into it from there. You're just going to leave that hanging? All right.
Data
Google
feeds.
Data feed.
I don't want to talk about data feeds too much because it's going to be Patreon a topic. But here's the thing. I'm going to leave it at basically this. Your optimization is only going to be as good as the optimization of your data feed. And I'll talk more about that later in Patreon because
it's a visual thing.
Absolutely a problem when it comes to you know, trying to squeeze some juice out of a rotten apple. You know, like it's just not going to work if the product itself is just not optimized. So we'll talk about data feeds later, but the number one thing that I found that it comes to getting the right kind of stuff in shopping is your search terms. Shopping campaigns, good news for you, Jason, have search terms.
You do have search
terms. And because it's cheap, can you imagine how much data you would get from a cheap PPC search campaign?
Maybe 60% of your real search terms. Sorry.
Still bitter. That hurts. Sorry. Yeah. Oh gosh. Yeah, that hurts. I don't want to bring that up. But yeah, you get tons of search terms, and all it's right. great because that can feed on your shopping campaign. Okay, your search
so you're not selecting. So when you look at a search terms report from a traditional search campaign, I basically know what I'm going to see in there based on the keywords I select in my match types. Mm-hmm. And yeah, some things are going to stand out and I'll figure them out and all that. Yep. But generally, I know what I'm going to see before I go in there. You're telling me shopping campaign based on the data feed, you don't select keywords, you
right.
optimize a data feed. That's the correct mm-hmm. way to think about mm-hmm. it. Then Google chooses mm-hmm. what to show you on. Since Google's choosing and you're not choosing, that could be a big list, and so the search terms report could be a lot of stuff you're not expecting, both positively and negatively, and that's why it's very important to focus on that search terms report. Would that be accurate?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. It is the Wild West of results that you can get, especially when you turn things on. Sometimes you'll be surprised. It really depends on the industry and how much volume there is and how much you're in that gray area. You know, if you're trying to sell something that doesn't really fit a certain category, sometimes it can be really difficult. But if you have a very obvious product that a lot of people search, then, you know, if you sell fish oil for dogs with bad joints, you know, it might be tough to reach people that want something like that, you know, that kind of medicine, let's call it. So, you know, that's the deal. Adding negative keywords is very important, and you can't do this. You can't go in and say, oh, that's a good search term. I'm going to add it to my shopping campaign.
Okay, well, I was going to ask you that. So search terms are very important because you could be showing up on a lot. So yes, it sounds like negative keywords is the same process. You add what you don't like, the search terms you don't like, you add them as negative keywords to block them going forward. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that stays the same. That's the same process.
Yep.
What about when you see a medium or maybe even a, I don't know, it could be any kind of volume search term coming in and you just are in love with it. You're getting an amazing conversion rate. You're getting an amazing return on spend. You want more of it and you want it now. In traditional search, I would pick it out, actually add it as a keyword, control the bid on that keyword and be in full control. What do I do with a shopping campaign when I see a search term that's performing great? What do I do? Tell me.
Yeah, it's much less of a direct relationship. You can't just grab it and focus on it. You have to optimize the data feed. You have to make sure you optimize the bids or increase the bids for that product that is associated with those you know, those types of keywords. Okay. It's not a direct relationship. So if you want direct to the point, you know, ads on a keyword, search is still where it's at. But if you want tons of data, very actionable ads that have images and prices and all kinds of great visual aspects to it, shopping is wonderful. So
all right, hold we're going to talk hold about on. Hold on.
How to jump into it.
Hold on. My
Uh-oh, you're getting...
My facial hair is getting a little more cleaned up as we talk. My fashion's getting a little more fashionable. My pants are getting a little tighter. Got them skinny jeans on. And my I think I have dark frame glasses on right now. My shady agency character is taking over right now, Chris. And I'm having an idea for all the shady agencies out there. Mm-hmm. My job is to suck as much money from the suckers as I can and put it in my pocket. And if I've got a client on the line, a fish on the line, spending on Google shopping ads, and we find a search term that's performing great, can I make the argument to the client that, hey, this search term is performing amazing? Let's not just target it on Google shopping because we don't have a ton of control to get more of it, which we just kind of have to enjoy what we're getting to some extent. Mm-hmm. Let's double down on it and also run traditional text ads on this amazing search term, and I'll get more of your money and charge a 99% management fee on that. Is that a now taking the shit? Okay, the pants are loosening up, the glasses have come off, the beard's getting a little more scraggly here. I'm no longer shady agency, but just honestly, a good question here, not just to get more money out of advertisers, but like, do you like that optimization idea of like, hey, something's working amazing in a shopping campaign. I know it probably won't work for like wheelbarrows or something, but something like fish oil, where you can also run traditional text ads, should we use these search terms that we fall in love with that maybe we can't get a lot more of in our control? Should we take that over to the traditional search side and use that as an idea to start targeting those with text ads, even if they don't really lend themselves to an e-commerce thing? Let's just try it and see what kind of traffic we get. Maybe we get a lot of newsletter signups. Maybe we actually get direct sales. Do you like that idea?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Absolutely. Because I cannot live in this world, Chris, without having the ability to see a search term that is performing amazing
and grab it
and grab it and do something about it. As you'll see on Patreon, I'm still in the basement. I still have a gun to my head when I manage campaigns for very serious advertisers. I have to do good. This is what I was trained to do, and I can't help it, Chris. This is what I was trained to do. I was trained to get the most leads, and in this case sales, possible for the budget. That's what I was trained to do. And if it takes finding search terms in a shopping campaign and using those as ideas for a traditional search campaign, that's the way my brain works, Chris. And I'm glad you like that idea.
Yep. And with that, we're going to jump into it. We're going to talk about the business of shopping. We're going to talk about, you know, what it looks like with data feeds and a couple other things.
All right. Let me just ask you one more as a newbie to shopping. I get the product groups, I get the bids, I get the way you look at search terms. I appreciate that advice you just gave me and that input.
Okay.
Now is my job as someone trying to learn, and anyone's job, trying to learn the Google shopping world. Where does my focus go from here? Does it have to be on this data feed? Is that where things are at? Is that where the action is?
No. No. All basically data feed optimization hits a point of stalemate. I mean, you can
it's a piece of the puzzle. So let me put it this way.
Yeah.
It's a piece of the puzzle, but you're not going to have a good puzzle if you don't get it right.
Yeah, you need to get it right. You need to have it working, but it's going to hit a point where you've optimized it and, you know, you have all the keywords you can have in it. You've labeled all your stuff the right way and you kind of just it's done. Now you move on to optimizing the flow of data coming from Google Ads. So,
you know, if I'm talking to Google, like, man, I get it. Seems like you have to do this merchant center data feed also with Google Ads, a two system thing. Mm-hmm. But as a little bit of a feedback from a Google Ads manager that talks to a lot of advertisers, do you have to do a two part thing? Can we not select you know, maybe one day in the future, it would be good for Google if we could all put it in one place. And I think that would bridge a lot more people like myself who have cold feet into this, wouldn't it? Like, I'd be more
open to it. Yeah, but it'll never happen. It'll never happen because shopping is not a direct one, you know, you don't have a product that shows for one keyword. You have a product that the algorithm then interprets and shows for 50,000 keywords. Like there's no direct relationship between a product that's optimized with the data feed and then the searches that it's going to get. It could get a lot of things. It's basically a bunch of broad keywords. Every product has 500 broad keywords, and then each of those broad keywords have 1,000 search terms they could show up for. So,
wow.
Yep.
Well, Chris, you've got my mind running here. I think I want to get more into this shopping as we go along through this year and next year. And for everyone out there who's in the Patreon group on Facebook, we want to hear from you. What would some shopping episodes ideas be? What are some topics of the shopping world that you want us to focus on? Chris, we'll talk about it in Patreon. I might take on a shopping client or two.
Okay.
Branch out into this world, and then that would lead to some episode ideas in terms of once I'm seeing more in the shopping world, I could figure out some more things to go down that road on the podcast here.
As smart as you are, you'll probably point out things I haven't noticed before because I have a definite. We'll talk about it.
Are you being sarcastic or do you actually mean
that?
No,
I'm serious.
Because if you don't mean that, you should.
You are younger and more adventurous in your...
Chris, I'm going to ask you a question. I know your wife and you talk about me. And my wife and I, we talk about you. We're, you know.
Yeah, sure. Well, yeah. Your wife talks about me a lot, I'm sure, but...
Honestly, she doesn't get you like I get you. Because she gets a very filtered version of what I tell her about you.
Oh, yeah.
I tell her some very funny things. Because, you know, I'm not going to tell her like, oh, yeah, you know what? Chris is awesome at Google Shopping. He really, or Chris's take on ROAS really like opened my mind today. I don't know. What does she care? So I'm not going to tell her that stuff. I'm going to tell her about your flaws and funny things that happened to you and all that kind of stuff. So the number one thing I hear a lot is like, I don't get him. But let me ask you, and be honest, because I want people to hear this. Have you, when you're talking about me, say in the last 12 months, are there genuinely some times where you think to yourself like, man, he is like a genius or he is really smart? Do you think that sometimes, to be honest?
Are you absolutely.
Oh, I love to hear absolutely. That, Chris. I love
100%. To hear that. Absolutely.
I love to hear that.
I have told people that found out that I had a podcast.
Wow.
And they're surprised. And I'm like, no. This would have never happened. I never even would have started one and it never would have been as successful. And if I hadn't have had this genius, and I called you this years ago.
Oh,
remember this? I called you my Steve Jobs.
Oh, wow.
I called you my Steve Jobs.
Wow.
You remember that?
I remember it. I love this.
Yeah, you remember that? I did. I called you my Steve Jobs. I was like, okay. I found my Steve Jobs. I am the, I'm the Wozniak in the basement. Right? You're the freaking Steve Jobs with these crazy, stupid ideas. I'm like, that's dumb. I don't want to do that. I don't want to start a Patreon. Nobody's going to freaking join that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so yeah, absolutely.
You know, Chris, I appreciate that. And I also appreciate it on the negative side too. Like, we got a little too intertwined business-wise a few months ago, and I was going back and forth on some things because that's how I move. I move quick.
Jason's a waffler.
Here's the thing, and this is honestly like a personality thing. It takes me a long time sometimes to make my mind up, Chris.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But when I make my mind up, that's concrete.
Oh,
that's no
solid.
Going back, and we're going fast once I decide. And you know, I remember the phrase. I can't keep doing this. I can't go back. And so, I feel for you, Chris. But we're managing it, and I appreciate the compliments. They're like a nice warm blanket on a cold night.
I know. Yes.
So I appreciate it, Chris. Now, we're going to go into Patreon, and you can tell me how you really feel about me starting right now.